Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go all across the country. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Coming up at 9:25, your chance to win some tickets to go to HF Festival 2024.
Nice.
It's crazy. We were doing stuff at HF Festival literally 20 years ago in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Join us right now to talk some Commanders is our pal Scott Abraham, news director at ABC7. He's a regular at training camp. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, fellas.
So, how are you, buddy?
At training camp, we spent a lot of time talking about Jahan Dotson. Do you notice him being like under heavy scrutiny by the coaching staff?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think he's getting opportunities to prove himself of what his skill set is and what he can do. I feel like he's the type of guy you can move all over the field in terms of formation wise, because he's that Swiss Army knife type player. Could be a good situation for the slot, and I think they want to get some extra looks in Jahan. Certainly he had a down year last year, had some issues with drops and just mentally didn't seem like he was in it. I sat down with him early in training camp, and he seems like really locked in, really focused. I'm encouraged that he's going to have a bounce back year.
What about bringing in Martavis Bryant? And
yeah,
what do you think his role is going to be? What has his role been so far in the few practices since they signed him? And then how much do you expect him to play? He and Dotson Saturday night.
So, I mean, that signing just goes to show you that there's obviously some question marks with this wide receiver group in terms of the depth that the coaching staff might have. And Martavis Bryant brings a skill set and a body type that is not in that wide receiver group. Mm-hmm. He's 6'4", he's big, he's tall, he can run. But the fact of the matter is, guys, you probably talked about it on your show, he hasn't played an NFL game in 6 years. There's raw talent there, but can he release off the line of scrimmage? Can he beat his guy? Can he get separation? Can he get those jump balls? Yes, there's an opportunity for Martavis to carve a role, carve a niche into this wide receiver group. But again, you go back to the fact, like, you know, I think he's 32 years old.
Yep.
How much gas does he have left in the tank? But I like the fact that he's a big target, right? He's, he can get those 50-50 balls. He can get those fade patterns. I don't know how much he can, you know, if a cornerback does a, you know, press coverage, jam him at the line of scrimmage, can he get separation and get free? I don't know. But in terms of a fade pattern or a 50-50 ball, I think he has that skill set where they can utilize that. Is that going to be good enough to make the 53? You look at the wide receiver depth right now, McLaurin, Dotson, De'Ami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, you know, then what? So there's a path for Martavis to maybe make this 53 or at least the practice squad.
Scott, just getting back to Jahan a little bit, but others in general, Brian Mitchell, our buddy B. Mitch, said on his show, he and JP, they had noticed like some body language issues. He was getting kind of pissed off as an ex-player. And he wasn't singling out Jahan by any, he never said Jahan's name. But I thought he was talking about him, but he never said. Mm-hmm. He said there was a bunch of guys that almost seemed like, you know, I don't know, they don't want to work harder. So I don't know, it was a weird vibe. Do you see any of that?
Yeah, honestly, guys, like, you know, I'm there pretty much every day, and I have not seen that. You know, okay. I have not obviously seen that, the body language type. Certainly there was plenty of, you know, what was me, you know, the culture was low at the end of last year. I mean, it was just, it was not a fun environment, a fun practice. But I feel like for the most part, everybody's juiced up and re-energized. And I would be surprised in terms of the body language or the frustration this early on in camp. So I have not seen that personally. But again, I think Jahan understands that he is a fresh slate, right? This is all new for everybody. They're getting to know Jahan. Jahan's getting to know the coaching staff. You know, he may be forced into a role that maybe he wasn't envisioning coming in, but I think he's a pro, and I think he's going to do the best he can. And I know this for a fact. He loves Jaden Daniels, and they have a really good rapport off the field. They both speak highly of each other, and they've had some really strong connections, some good you know, completions during training camp practices. So I think that could be a young kind of duo to watch along with McLaurin and Diami and whoever else.
All right, give us your best guess as to the plan at quarterback. So prior to them signing Trace, who we all like because Jason's close with the family and we root for, I was under the impression that Hartman, they were going to find a way to stash him on practice squad or something. I think they gave him like a $250,000 signing bonus, which is a lot of money for an undrafted free agent. I thought he showed well in the first game. And then I don't know what they're doing with Driscoll. He looked pretty good, too. I like him. Are they going to keep three up and then have one on the practice squad? Like, when this is all said and done, how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to keep three up. I don't. I think most teams tend to like to go with the two-quarterback situation and then use an extra roster spot for something of need that maybe they could use on special teams or whatnot. But I know they like Sam Hartman. It's unfortunate he has a shoulder injury right now. So between Driscoll and Hartman, I would lend toward the fact that they may lean toward Sam Hartman just because you mentioned they gave him a pretty good chunk of change as an undrafted rookie free agent. But again, we don't know the severity of the shoulder injury. So and in terms of kind of playing time on Saturday for the preseason game, I'd expect Jaden Daniels to get a few more drives. Definitely, you know, more than one. Obviously, he showed out that first drive, but I can't see him going more than. Could he play the first half? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. But if he puts together back-to-back scoring drives like he did against the Jets and here against Miami, then I don't think there's any need to continue to play him if he has, you know, back-to-back scoring drives. And scoring out of his first three drives in an NFL preseason action. So I think he would be done. But I think you're going to see a lot of Driscoll and obviously McSorley, and they're going to be smart, especially with the offensive line issues that, you know, we've talked about at length with the injuries and the offensive tackles and the moving of the pieces. So they got to be smart. You're not going to win football games in August. You want to be ready to make sure you're ready to go in September.
So let's just say they played Jaden for the first quarter. Especially if they start pulling linemen, and then you're putting backups in. So what are you thinking, Driscoll for the second quarter and third quarter, and then Trace fourth quarter?
Yep. I would think so. Okay. Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Obviously, McSorley is so, unfortunately, raw in a sense of the playbook and the plays. It'll be so vanilla for Trace, but he has that, you know, initial foundation of running an offense. So he'll probably get to run in the fourth quarter, but I would say Jaden – you know, quarter and a half, maybe a first half if things kind of struggle a little bit out there. And then obviously Driscoll will take over. But it's another opportunity for the Commanders to kind of show what they have. And that joint practice against the Jets was just a slop fest. And that I don't think it was very productive for anybody. I'm excited to see what happens today. I know it's good weather down there in Miami, so it should be some good work for them going into Saturday.
When does that start? Do you know the joint practice?
Yeah, 10:15. So about an hour. So 10:15, they get going.
Gotcha.
And it'll be good to go hit up against another team because obviously, you know, Miami has a lot of skilled players, and I'll be curious to see if Tyreek and, you know, Tua play on Saturday because that'll be a good test for that secondary. And I have concerns with those outside corners, and I'm sure you guys do in terms of Emmanuel Forbes and Brian Davis and Benjamin St. Juice. There's a lot of good wide receivers in this league, especially in the NFC East with Antonio Brown, C.D. Lamb. So they're going to be strong up the middle, up in that box, that defensive line, those linebackers. But, you know, that secondary, they have strong safeties. Sanders still is going to be a stud. But the outside corners, I'm concerned, guys.
Mm-hmm.
What about Jamin, what have you seen from Jamin? He's been the project that I've been hoping that they would focus on, and he made some plays in that last one. What do you expect to see from him?
Yeah, he's building, right? He's building. Like it's been good to see him embracing this new role and a new opportunity because he understands this is probably it in Washington. If he doesn't produce this year, he's going to be going to another team, and he's shown flashes during the preseason game against the Jets. And you watch him in training camp. You watch the reps. He's taking to the coaching. He's, you know, kind of being like that sponge of of being in this new role, and I think there's a role for him in what they want him to do, because they need some edge rushers, they need some guys to get to the quarterback, and you know, Cleveland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong, Jamin, those are going to be the guys that are going to be tasked with putting the pressure on the quarterback. They don't have the Chase Young, they don't have the Montez Sweat. They got to get to the quarterback, especially with maybe a potentially weak secondary. They got to make the quarterback uneasy and unhappy back there.
By the way, real quick, is there a way, because you're not in Miami, right? Is there a way you or us, the fans, can watch the practice today?
So sometimes the host team, I know the Jets had a live stream on their social media platforms. I don't know if Miami's going to do the same, but a lot of the teams that host have like their live streams up of practice. In terms of what's going on, they have some talent in front of the camera, and then they pan off and just show some live video of the practice. So I would check out the Dolphins social media platforms for any live feed. We're getting some help from our ABC affiliate in Miami, so we'll have that tonight on ABC7. But to watch it live, I would probably the best case would be going toward the.
Yeah. There's no indication at this point, like on their YouTube or anything, but we'll keep checking.
Scott,
that's what I would say.
In terms of the RBs with Brian Robinson and obviously Eckler and Rodriguez, we'll see a lot of Rodriguez, I'm sure. But how do you think they've looked, especially Eckler? Because I think that I think he's going to have a pretty good year if he can stay healthy. And how much do you expect those guys to play? Maybe a little bit more on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think they'll play, certainly. I think everybody's going to play. The first team unit, the first team offense is going to play as much as Jaden plays. That's my expectation. Once Jaden goes out, I think that's when they'll start to filter in the backups and the secondary roles. And I'm excited about this tandem. Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler. I know you guys play fantasy football. I know a lot of my buddies play fantasy football, and they all ask me, because they know I cover the Commanders on a daily basis, who's the one guy you'd want to have in fantasy football this year from the Commanders? And I tell them Brian Robinson Jr. I think he is going to be utilized. Hmm. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to get the carries in the red zone and the goal line carries, and I think he is just poised for a breakout year, because remember, rookie year, he was shot. Attempted robbery attempt that set him back, worked his way back mentally and physically his second year. This is the year, I think, you know, finally they're going to understand what they have in Brian Robinson Jr. Cliff Kingsbury understands, and then you supplement that with an Austin Eckler who can do it all in terms of catching the ball in the backfield, lining up in the slot. He's a touchdown machine himself. So I think, especially with a rookie quarterback, guys, Cliff is going to rely heavily on this running game. Establish your running game. Make the defense respect the run, and that'll make a lot of things easier for Jaden in the pass and make him more comfortable in the pocket.
Well, Cakes isn't here, but he'd be happy, because I have a bet that Eckler is going to end up the season with more carries than Brian Robinson. Cakes is on the Brian Robinson side.
No, I would go B-Rob. I do.
Mm. Yep. Now I got to root for an injury.
Yeah, I don't root for that. It's going to be interesting to see how Jaden plays, and certainly with more time, if he plays a half, because, you know, after throwing three passes, people are going crazy because of the.
I know. Everybody's anointing him, and you know, it's encouraging. That's the word I've been using on our television programs, and talking to my buddies. Like, everything's encouraging. Everything's on track. He can read a defense. He can check. I mean, that was great to see. And let's see him take another step. Let's see him keep building off this and stay healthy in the process. Again, I talked to, my buddy Ben Standig, obviously a friend of the program and does a great job for The Athletic. And he brought up the point. He thinks success could look like if this team wins six games, but Jaden Daniels has a strong year, shows progress, shows growth, he would take that. That would be success to him. And I know the fans don't want to hear that, because we're such a immediate results based society now. We want things to happen quickly. And guys, you can't forget, this is still a rebuild, a recalibration, as they like to say. They blew everything up. A lot of new faces, front office, coaching, owner, everything is new. So it's going to take time. I know everybody wants the playoffs right away, 10-win season right away. You got a rookie quarterback who's going to make some mistakes. He's going to grow and develop. And let's just hope, in terms of the football gods, that finally Washington has figured out this quarterback situation, and he's going to be the guy for many years to come. That's all you can hope for right now.
That is That's true. What we're hoping for. It'd be a fun ride. Thanks, Scott.
By the way, real quick, Scotty, I know it was a few weeks ago, but it was cool hanging out with you at that Commander's PR event.
Yeah, I know. But we had a blast. It was great to see you guys out in the flesh, and I know EB and JP missed it, but it was great catching up with you, and that was just another kind of great thing that the Commanders organized, and just kind of the new leaf they're turning over and embracing the media, building relationships. And I was really happy to see that you guys were invited. A lot of different outlets were invited.
Yeah, it was cool.
So it was great to kind of have a beer with you.
I mean, we talked shop, but we also talked life. And
you talked to DK?
Yeah.
I talked to Dan Quinn. Adam Peters as well.
Nice.
Yeah, they're really cool dudes.
Yeah, really, really down to earth. And they took time with every reporter and, radio personality, TV personality that was there. And it was great to kind of build that foundational relationship. And it's important because you want them to trust you and you want to trust them. And it's a two-way street, and it's a good way to kind of start off the new year. So I thought it was a great idea that the Commanders put that on.
Yeah, very cool.
All right,
buddy. Well,
thank you, pal.
Have a great rest of the week and weekend, man.
All right, guys. You take care.
All right, buddy.
Scott Abraham, news director at ABC 7.
I will say that the Commander's PR staff, I had never met any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good dudes.
Yeah, I know that was the Monday I was in the Bahamas.
Yeah, you were gone.
That was the happy hour. I know tonight we have a schmooze.
I had never met any of those guys, and I met two of them, actually three, and they were just really cool.
Look at that. Yeah, tonight we schmoozed with the current head coach and the past head coach in the last couple of weeks.
That's right.
When are we
both nice guys, by the way?
And you probably see Gruden every now and then.
I haven't seen him in a while, but I used to.
What head coach have you not hung out with recently?
Most of the Skins/Commanders coaches I know.
When are we going to that thing tonight? Like 5:30? Is that the time I heard?
I said I'm going to go 5:30 to like 7.
Okay. Is that what you're going to do, Valdez? All right. Are we going to? We don't have to say where, but is it Arlington?
Yes.
Is that where we're going? Arlington?
Yes.
Right in the heart of it.
So should I probably leave like at 4:30?
You might want to say they've got like a $5 Surfside can promotion.
I don't know.
That's what they're doing.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know the deal.
I'm just showing up.
Yeah, I'm showing up. 5:30. But I got to leave like an hour. And then
I don't know your traffic situation.
Yeah. The traffic ain't going
to
be great.
I just never drive to Arlington.
Actually, I got to
Arlington. I don't drive to Arlington.
We did it last week or the week before when we had our dinner. When was that? It was last week.
Yeah.
Oh. I actually got there with no traffic.
With J-Dub?
Yeah, stunning. I went like the back way.
I took 66.
Yeah.
Boom, got there easily.
You know what? I just got to... I need the address. You send me the address.
Yeah, I can tell you the name of the place.
Okay, all right.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, we got HF Festival tickets, which we'll give away coming up in about 10 minutes. But we mentioned this term recently. It's not what you think. Raw dogging.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned it recently because there was an article about people that were going on flights and they were not eating on the flight. They weren't using AirPods. They weren't having drinks. They weren't talking to anybody. They weren't looking at any screens. They weren't sleeping. And there were some TikTokers, I guess, bragging about how long they were on a flight, raw dogging. And so that's when we first mentioned the term. But now there's an article in the New York Post that it actually could be one of the most dangerous trends. Now, that seems to be a stretch to me. But what they say is there's a nutritionist that says it increases the risk of blood clots.
I guess
if you're having the no water and no food, but
it's just stupid. It's just a stupid
trend.
I mean,
you could do it for an hour, but for someone to do it for 7 hours or 10 hours, they're just dumb people.
What's the point?
Just for attention?
People are just bored.
They're just stupid.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely could do, if I could sleep, I could definitely do it.
Well, that's not raw dogging anything. That's
for how long?
I mean, just think about it.
For how long?
I took probably, I don't know if hundreds is the right term, but dozens of flights in my life without a cell phone.
Right.
Probably over 100.
I could do it.
So I don't need a cell phone.
That would hurt. I mean, I don't know if I could. I mean, cell phone just kills so many time.
Of course.
So
much time. Of course. It's entertainment.
But when you say you could do it, how long could you do it for?
Well, the no sleep part, I think I could probably do it.
Three hours, 4 hours?
Yeah, I think I could do a four-hour flight. Just now, according to this story, they do let you like look at the flight map. Like I do see the people like looking at the stupid emergency.
Well, you
got to
look at something. You can't just close your eyes. I mean, you gotta...
It's dumb.
Yes, it's dumb.
It's dumb.
I disrespect everyone who does it.
So do I.
All right, here's my question.
I think I could do it.
Go ahead.
I could not do it. I could do it for a flight to Nashville or Charlotte, but that's about it.
Valdez and I were kicking this around. Can you guys raw dog a show from 6 to 10 a.m.?
Which means...
But you're not allowed to talk.
No food or drink?
No.
Obviously, you've got to talk.
No food or drink?
But no phone.
No phone, no food or drink. Shut your laptops and just sit here and talk to each other.
100%.
No.
I think
no.
we could do it.
No, I would need information on my computers.
No, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that.
No, you're just bantering. You're just...
No, that would be dumb.
I mean, you give me the outline at least.
No callers.
Yeah, no callers.
Well, we do that 99% of the time.
No callers. Right.
No, I couldn't do it without. I feel very uncomfortable at this point doing the show without, like,
I need water
at my fingertips.
I need water, too.
Yeah, and I need caffeine.
I could go 4 hours without water.
The answer is no. So I'm sorry if I disappoint you, but I cannot do it.
I couldn't
do it. You could do it. I could not do it.
How long do you think you could go without
your phone? Half hour. I'm not worried about my phone. That's silly. But I need like Twitter. I need websites, and I need caffeine.
I think the listeners would appreciate it. You know, we'd bill it as the Raw Dog Show.
Yeah.
They would know that you guys don't have information in front of you.
I could do it during the Christmas show.
No chocolate bars or whatever you're eating right now.
Right. I'm starving by about 8:30.
I don't know.
I think it's doable. Look, in the
Do it my vacation week.
In the early days of the show, I think the internet was just like kind of starting when we were starting. Now we used to have newspapers.
You have to turn off those TVs as well.
I would not be interested in it.
Right?
It'd be a terrible
show. Just for you to humor you. It would be terrible.
It's not for me. It's for the listeners.
I'm up for raw dogging.
All right. You do it on my vacation week. I'm going to be off in a couple days.
Where are you going?
I do think that we would need our outline, like our plan.
Got a couple games.
Would that count? Like our one
outline?
Sheet?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm not printing stuff off. That would be information. You guys sit here and just talk to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I've got the
These guys aren't that interesting to talk to without some information I can lean on.
My wife yesterday, this goes back to that Instagram reel where we talk about the guy and he says, like, I don't know about his divorce, but I know he got a new driver. Yeah. I spent 6 hours with my buddy Tom. My wife said, how's he doing? And I said,
I don't know.
Right. Seemed like he's doing fine.
Right.
She goes, well, didn't y'all talk? I go, talked about golf. She goes, well, you had dinner together. And I go, yeah, we went through our scorecard. We talked about the round.
So you talked about golf the entire time.
Yeah. She asked me how he's doing. Seemed like you're doing fine.
Didn't ask him.
I think it's Brian Regan. Yeah. I could be wrong. The comedian does this. It's a great bit. But so true.
Yeah. No idea.
It's so, we only got 20 minutes left.
Hold on. I got to bring up something else before we go to the calls.
Yeah.
Drab, you might get a kick out of this. I know Valdez will. Eric-Bickle-3 got a Venmo question or just a point. 20 bucks for this one, too. This point was worth 20 bucks.
Mm.
Please tell JP to stop using the replay machine. It's cringe. What is JP doing on the replay machine? How is he different than Cakes? Can you differentiate, or are they the same people?
I mean, he plays some of the older clips.
I know what he plays. Are you playing sound effects beyond the teletype?
Yeah.
I did enjoy it.
You're doing stuff like that.
Slid him in.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he does do that. And I think he kind of sticks to one bank.
Do you have one?
No, I've used about four, but right, I only know a few.
Because I paid no attention to it.
Older drops that we don't really play
three or four of the drops you've played today.
Well, in Big Deal or Little Deal, when it was Little Deal, I played, I have to find it, but I played good old Ken Norton Whoopie Doo.
So is it cringe for you? Do you notice? Is it cringe when JP runs the replay machine?
It's different than when Cakes does it.
Okay.
No doubt.
Slide some in.
Dravy, is it cringe when JP plays the replay machine?
I got
machine?
A text from Drunk Mike yesterday.
Yes.
Drunk Mike sent me a text yesterday. Yeah. And he said, remember there was a caller when we were talking about haunted hotels?
Yeah.
Who said he'd put me up in Kent Island?
Yeah.
And I said, sure. If the guy, I believe it was a bluff, but if the guy was going to put me up in Kent Island, Drunk Mike said, I live 2 miles from there, like the jetty and Red Eye.
All right.
And I was like, nice. I was like, if I do it, I'll let you know. His answer.
No doubt.
It's just this calling card.
That's him. That's Drunk Mike.
All right. Let's go to Ian. Ian, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up,
Ian?
Just real quick. So just to start, I've been listening to you guys since middle school, early high school, and I'm about to have my 20-year high school reunion next month.
It's
bananas. It's really bananas.
Making us really feel old now, Ian. Thank you.
I know. You're not that. You guys are like old. You guys, like, you'd be older brothers. You wouldn't be like it. You guys be older brothers to me. So don't feel that old, because I'm almost 40 now.
Okay. All right.
I can't believe it. So, you guys, I'm a big golfer. I wish you guys talked golf all the time. That's all right. I want to hear. Football season, honestly, not really looking forward to it.
You're the only one.
I'll still leave in some golf. Don't worry.
I know. But so, I've got this group of guys. We do golf trips every year. We've done Pinehurst 3 years in a row. Mm. I don't want to make things awkward, but EB, Lurch, one, why don't you guys play golf more together? And have you guys ever done a boys trip? Like a legit
three, four...
Jason and I went to Baldhead years ago.
Baldhead Islands.
I know, but I'm talking like recent history. Like,
no, we don't do that.
No, because Jason lives in just the –
guys all play in Maryland. I don't like to play in Maryland.
He lived 100 miles away. And when I play in Virginia, it's a nightmare to get home.
Yeah.
You guys punch your – you punch your cards to end work at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You could go get a – I mean, you could be – I mean, I know that I've lived there my whole life.
We'll play together on occasion. Like, I'll play with EB and his brother once or twice a year.
Look, I just have a group of guys I always play with, and it's all in Virginia.
Jason and I used to play a lot of golf together. And then he moved out to Ashburn, and that was it.
Yeah.
But even like, I mean, it's probably maybe 5 hours from Jason's house to Pinehurst. Would you guys ever do a trip?
No, I have no interest. I definitely don't want to play Pinehurst number two.
I think it's the worst golf course ever.
Screw Donald Ross. I don't like it. It would be miserable. I would be miserable there. I could never get the ball to stay on the green.
Well, you know what? There's 10 courses.
Yeah, there's 10.
I know there's 10.
So you could play like Pinehurst 4
but
or 7.
People want to go. People go because they want to play
mid-pines.
Number two.
Mid-Pines is down there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of
There's a Pine Needles.
You know, this is also something you guys – sorry, this is a little golf geeky. Forgive me. I actually don't love playing courses that I'm unfamiliar with because I play poorly.
Oh.
Because I don't know where.
That's because you have poopy game.
It's a challenge.
Okay, I wasn't looking for an insult. But, I mean, I'm not. I like to play golf. Like to play courses I know. So I know what clubs to hit where. I know it's boring, but I like to play well. You guys want to go out there and see some ocean? I don't care about the ocean.
You would love.
You wouldn't want to go play Pebble because you don't know much about the course.
You would fall in love with Pebble Beach.
That might be a unique one. That's like a one in a million.
Okay. You'd rather play Glendale.
Play courses I know because I'm going to do better than to play. When I play unknown courses first time, I never play well.
Like you wouldn't want to go down and play Hilton Head.
I don't have a super desire to. I'd rather play the local courses around here that I know.
Yeah, but Ian,
I follow all you guys, including Valdez. I follow all you guys on the GIN app. And EB, I see your scores posting. Norbeck's kind of an easy course.
And listen,
what's the slope from the blue tees? What tees?
129, I think.
No, that's from the white. That's not bad. That my understanding. Listen. There's a lot more difficult courses out there, no doubt. It's defenses, it's greens.
But it's also 5 minutes from your house. That's why
it's 20 minutes from my house, but I do like it's good shape.
Also,
go ahead.
I mean, how are you not playing Congo and Columbia?
I've played all those. There's not a course around here I haven't played. The only one I haven't played is Burning Tree.
Burning.
But I actually know somebody I could get on if I had to.
What do you care where he plays?
I can tell you exactly why. Ann's jealous, not jealous, but he's envious that you have the ability to play all of these silly courses.
I know.
But he's a commoner.
Ann's a loser. You're a loser because you're looking at other people's things. I'm not on the GIN app, but I'm on 18 Birdies, right, which is like a social thing, and people can see your round. Yeah. I think you're a loser if you're looking at other people's rounds.
You always check in on other people's handicaps.
Haven't you noticed that my scores have gotten better?
Oh, of course. And first of all, my day's made. JP's calling me a loser. JP, you stuck at golf. So that doesn't
mean anything to me. That doesn't bother me.
He never said he was great.
I'm an 18.5 handicap.
Yeah,
that's not bad at all, actually. That's not bad. But my point is, Valerie's nailed it. I've got buddies up in Northern Virginia still. I had a friend's dad that was like, hey, you should come up and we'll go to RTJ.
RTJ is spectacular. Love RTJ.
Yep.
But I'm not desperate to go out there and play it, haul ass all the way out there. It's probably one of my favorite courses. But I'm not desperate to. It's an 8-hour ordeal to go do that.
Just FYI, Valdez is desperate.
All right,
for everyone listening, stalking your scores, CP.
Yeah, I know.
No, people do that.
If you guys are never in Charlotte, you got a free round out of me. So.
I don't know.
All right,
is that where you are?
My opinion: you stalk other people's scores.
You live in Charlotte.
Jason, I live in Charlotte now, man. It's awesome down here.
Oh, okay.
I had cell phone issues last time I was down there. I don't know. That was
well,
annoying.
I was down, Ian. I was in Pinehurst in May because my daughter was working for the USGA during the tournament, during the US Open, and I didn't play.
Oh, no.
But I just, yeah. I just rode around Pinehurst too. I would love to play Pinehurst.
Ian, we're up against the break.
Such a cool property.
Hit us up on Twitter,
Thanks,
Ian. Hit us up on Twitter.
Hey, caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. We told you. We're giving away two tickets to HF Festival Saturday, September 21st at Nationals Park. That features the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush, Garbage, and more. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is Dante Whitner, played safety in the NFL, former first-round pick, played for the Bills, Niners, Browns, and the Redskins in 2016. What's up, Dante?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man.
Thanks for joining us on the West Coast time out there. Appreciate it, buddy.
Oh, no problem. You know, I'm usually up at this time for my workout, so it's all good.
It's all good.
What type
I'm actually
of
driving by Nick Bosa right now. We're headed to the same place to work out.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
I was gonna say, what type of workout do you still put in?
I still do heavy weights, guys, right? I feel like I'm still young, even though I just turned 39. I still feel young. Yesterday, me and Patrick Willis worked out together.
Wow.
And I made sure that he lifts some heavy weights yesterday so that we can maintain our muscle mass, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. NFL is over. Life doesn't just stop. So make sure that we're up at 6:30, 6 o'clock a.m. every morning, still getting that work in.
Wow.
Do you have athletic kids?
Yes, actually, my daughter is the number one middle blocker, 11th grader in the country right now. And she goes to Gilmore Academy.
Wow.
Excuse me about that beep, and I'm just driving.
Yeah.
That she goes to Gilmore Academy outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And they just have an incredible, you know, educational system, athletic program, and, you know, hopefully we can go Ivy League after this.
Oh, nice. That is awesome. So she's got a bunch of schools looking at her, obviously.
Absolutely. Stanford, the University of Miami, you know, it's just a bunch of schools right now. I think it's a little too early for her, but with her athletic ability or her height, her grades, where we want to push for Ivy League.
Well, my daughter plays volleyball at Cornell.
Yep.
We'd love to have her. Just let me know.
Absolutely.
Let me know. What's your name?
My daughter's name is Diara Whitner. She's actually taller than me right now. So.
What did he say? In Ohio?
In Ohio, outside of Cleveland.
Ohio, Gilmore Academy.
All right, I will talk to Trudy.
Because Dante's from Cleveland.
I will talk to Trudy. What year is she?
11th grader, you said.
She's a junior. She's a junior now.
So I think she could talk, right? Is it September 1?
Yes, I think it's like, 3 weeks ago, they were able to start speaking with her.
Talking.
So I have about 8 schools right now. That's very cool. Interesting.
Well, I mean, if she's Stanford quality, then she'll destroy the Ivy League.
Yeah.
Is she interested in Cornell?
Well, she'll be interested in anything that I put on an option on the table for her.
All right, all right, all right.
She listens to pops.
So.
All right.
So we've spent a lot of time here in D.C. obviously getting ready for Jaden Daniels' rookie season, and there's flirtation with Brandon Ayuk, at least talk. That maybe Washington would be a team because of their relationship. It looks like Washington's dropped out of any potential trade. You've talked to Brandon Ayuk. What is his mentality right now? What do you expect? What are you seeing happening?
Well, he just want to be respected. He want to feel respected, and he wants to get, you know, market dollar for the work that he put in over the last few years with the San Francisco 49ers. And I think that's fair for every player to come into the league, develop into an all-pro, consistently knock on the door of the Super Bowl, make big plays for a team who really doesn't have a huge downfield threat and presence. So right now I hear the Pittsburgh Steelers. We heard Washington. We heard a few other teams. But truthfully, I really feel like it's a negotiation tactic for the 49ers. They understand how vital Brandon Ayuk is to their success. And when you look at the receivers and how they haven't been able to separate consistently in practice, I'm thinking that they're starting to feel more and more eager to get him signed and get him back out there with the first game closely, quickly knocking on the door.
What's his attitude been like? Like, I think he's been at practice, right? He's just like holding in or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
How is he, like, mentally? Has he been, like, cheering on the guys, or has he just been kind of quiet off to his own? What's he been like?
Oh, he's been a little quiet off to the side. I don't know if they give him much leeway to actually be around the guys while they're out there practicing. But the few times that I've saw him and stood next to him while the team was doing team drills, he was still mentally in tune. He was calling out plays. He was calling out adjustments. So I don't know if the 49ers would actually have him in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, at this point if they weren't seriously considered on re-signing him back to the roster. So, yeah, I know everybody out there understands how good of a receiver and wide receiver, top five talent in the National Football League, in my opinion, Brandon Ayuk is. I don't know if the 49ers are just going to just give him away, and or if, you know, the other side doesn't really accommodate or what the 49ers expect them to accommodate with a trade. So, yeah, he's been in tune. He's been in shape. He's been working out with, you know, the strength team, and, you know, it's just about time to get him on the field, to get him acclimated to the quick bursts, right, the twist and the torques that happen when you get out there and play real football. So I know there was a lot of organizations out there excited about Brandon Ayuk, but I think he's going to be standing in San Francisco.
Right.
Well, so the Niners have that deal, the offer on the table for him, and then they also made, according to reports, you might know more than me, but they also have a deal in place for the trade for Pittsburgh. So it's kind of up to Brandon, right? I mean, he's got to decide on the current offer or the trade.
But I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers want to include George Pickens. That's really what I'm hearing.
Oh,
they don't want to include George Pickens in the deal.
Oh.
Everything else is pretty much, you know, solidified. So I don't know if that's going to happen. And the way that Brandon Ayuk has been in the building, the way that he's been around the team, the way that he embraces Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch on the daily, it would just feel unnatural for them to trade him at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to commend Brandon Ayuk. Think about how many guys that get a chance to sit at home and hide while their contract is being negotiated by their agent and general manager. It's very difficult to be in the building, to constantly be getting people talking to you and trying to persuade you to take a deal, and then go home and go to your hotel room and your agent telling you to stay strong. Mm-hmm. So it's very tough for a young player who's going through his first contract negotiation, really, and, you know, he stays strong. So hopefully he gets what he deserves soon so he can get out there and do what he does best, and that's play wide receiver in the NFL.
So here everybody was dreaming of a Jaden, Brandon, Ayuk connection. It's not going to happen. What do you see in Jaden Daniels so far? What do you expect?
I see a real pro. I see somebody that loves the game. I see somebody who understands what a pro-style offense and decision-making is. A lot of the college quarterbacks, they struggle in the NFL. And, you know, we could talk about Justin Fields, and we can go down the line. It's because most of the game in the NFL is controlled from the sideline, right? They have to minimize the risk of the quarterback and players making mistakes, losing games. And you know how vital each win is in college football, so they have to control it as much as possible. In the NFL, you know, when that headset snaps off at, what, 15 seconds? Mm-hmm. Every decision is up to the quarterback, from where you line, what plays you can, what plays you run opposite, who do you motion, who do you shift, who do you throw it to versus certain blitzes and coverages and zones.
it's all up to the quarterback, which is why they get premium dollar in the NFL. So a lot of the quarterbacks that can't operate in these type of pro systems, you can blame it on the NCAA and college football, because those coaches are minimizing the risk and controlling everything from the sideline. So from going forward, organizations in the NFL, I would only look at quarterbacks pretty much that are, you know, just freakishly athletic, or that come primarily from NFL-style systems and been coached up from NFL offensive coordinators, so that it translates to the NFL and they have success.
Hey, Dante, before we let you go, getting back to the Niners, you know, we're talking about Ayuk, who's holding in. Trent Williams is holding out. Now, he's got 3 years left on a deal that he signed, 6 years, $140 million, but I don't think he's got any more guaranteed money after this year. So he wants a new deal, and he's obviously a vital part to that team, as Ayuk is. What's going on with Trent? Do you expect that deal to get done before the season starts?
Yes, I expect that deal to also get done before the season starts, and it's different between Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. Brandon Ayuk has to get out and sprint, quick twitch. You know, there's more opportunity for injury there, so you like to get him in practice a lot sooner than Trent. With Trent and what he's done and already solidified himself as a Hall of Famer, it might only take him a few days to get acclimated back into practice. So, you know, after, what, 14 years in the NFL, you know, he keeps himself in top shape. I don't think that Trent Williams will have any issues, but he does deserve top dollar. He's still the number one left tackle in the NFL, and you see that these contracts keep going up. I see what, was it Tristan Wirfs? He just set the market again for left tackles.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can, you know, I don't even know if he's even close to what Trent Williams is.
Yep.
So Trent deserves his money. He's getting older, and he understands right now that, hey, he has the leverage. There's not a developed left tackle behind him that you can go into the season with Super Bowl aspirations and really count on him not to destroy the season. So I think that Trent Williams will get it worked out. Him and his agent, they're playing it beautifully. Any player who has this type of dominance in his career, and he's starting to come towards like the end of his career, they should all take a page out of Trent Williams' book to really go in those end years and be able to negotiate and get some of that guaranteed money before you're done with the game. So I think they'll get both of those guys, you know, signed up and set up and get ready to go back on another Super Bowl run, because they have a lot of talent, a lot of young guys, a lot of returning guys, a lot of returning coaches. Now it's all to get it back together and put that continuity to it.
Dante, always a pleasure talking to
you.
Thanks for jumping on.
We'll talk during the season too, man.
Absolutely. Long season, guys. Call me.
All right, thank you.
I'm ready.
All right,
Dante,
we'll do it again.
Whitner, NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, former 49ers and Redskins safety for Lurch. For EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley up next. You're on The Fan, 106.7. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is Dante Whitner, played safety in the NFL, former first-round pick, played for the Bills, Niners, Browns, and the Redskins in 2016. What's up, Dante?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, right, man.
Thanks for joining us on the West Coast time out there. Appreciate it, buddy.
No problem. You know, I'm usually up at this time for my workout, so it's all good.
It's all good.
I'm actually driving by Nick Bosa right now. We're headed to the same place to work out.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
I was gonna say, what type of workout do you still put in?
I still do heavy weights, guys, right? I feel like I'm still young, even though I just turned 39. I still feel young. Yesterday, me and Patrick Willis worked out together.
Wow.
And I made sure that he lifts some heavy weights yesterday so that we can maintain our muscle mass, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. NFL is over. Life doesn't just stop. So make sure that we're up at 6:30, 6 o'clock a.m. every morning, still getting that work in.
Wow.
Do you have athletic kids?
Yes, actually, my daughter is the number one middle blocker, 11th grader in the country right now. And she goes to Gilmore Academy.
Wow.
Excuse me about that beep, and I'm just driving.
Yeah.
That she goes to Gilmore Academy outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And they just have an incredible, you know, educational system, athletic program. And, you know, hopefully we can go Ivy League after this.
Oh, nice. That is awesome. So she's got a bunch of schools looking at her, obviously.
Absolutely. Stanford, the University of Miami,
you know, it's just a bunch of screws right now. I think it's a little too early for her, but with her athletic ability or her height, her grades, where we want to push for Ivy League.
Well, if you, my daughter plays volleyball at Cornell, we'd love to have her. Just let me know.
Absolutely.
Let me know.
Absolutely. What's your name? My daughter's name is Diara Whitner. She's actually taller than me right now. So,
what did he say? In Ohio?
In Ohio, outside of Cleveland.
Ohio, Gilmore Academy.
All right, I will talk to Trudy.
Because Dante's from Cleveland.
I will talk to Trudy. What year is she?
11th grader, he said.
She's a junior. She's a junior now.
Well, I think she could talk, right? Is it September
1? Yes, I think it's like, 3 weeks ago, they were able to start speaking with her.
Talking.
So I have about 8 schools right now. That's very cool. Interesting.
Well, I mean, if she's Stanford quality, then she'll legit destroy the Ivy League.
Yeah.
Is she interested in Cornell?
Well, she'll be interested in anything that I put on an option on the table for her.
All right.
She listens to pops.
So,
all right.
So we've spent a lot of time here in D.C. obviously getting ready for Jaden Daniels' rookie season, and there's flirtation with Brandon Ayuk, at least talk that maybe Washington would be a team because of their relationship. It looks like Washington's dropped out of any potential trade. You've talked to Brandon Ayuk. What is his mentality right now? What do you expect? What are you seeing happening?
Well, he just want to be respected. He want to feel respected. And he wants to get, you know, market dollar for the work that he put in over the last few years with the San Francisco 49ers. And I think that's fair for every player to come into the league, develop into an all-pro, consistently knock on the door of the Super Bowl, make big plays for a team who really doesn't have a huge downfield threat and presence. So right now I hear the Pittsburgh Steelers. We heard Washington. We heard a few other teams. But truthfully, I really feel like it's a negotiation tactic for the 49ers. They understand how vital Brandon Ayuk is to their success. And when you look at the receivers and how they haven't been able to separate consistently in practice, I'm thinking that they're starting to feel more and more eager to get him signed and get him back out there with the first game closely, quickly knocking on the door.
What's his attitude been like? Like, I think he's been at practice, right? He's just like holding in or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
How is he, like, mentally? Has he been, like, cheering on the guys? Or has he just been kind of quiet off to his own? What's he been like?
Oh, he's been a little quiet off to the side. I don't know if they give him much leeway to actually be around the guys while they're out there practicing. But the few times that I've saw him and stood next to him while the team was doing team drills, he was still mentally in tune. He was calling out plays. He was calling out adjustments. So I don't know if the 49ers would actually have him in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, at this point if they weren't seriously considered on re-signing him back to the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know everybody out there understands how good of a receiver and wide receiver, top five talent in the National Football League, in my opinion, Brandon Ayuk is. I don't know if the 49ers are just going to just give him away, and or if, you know, the other side doesn't really accommodate with what the 49ers expect them to accommodate with a trade. So, yeah, he's been in tune. He's been in shape. He's been working out with, you know, the strength team. And, you know, it's just about time to get him on the field, to get him acclimated to the quick burst, right, the twist and the torques that happen when you get out there and play real football. So I know there was a lot of organizations out there excited about Brandon Ayuk, but I think he's going to be standing in San Francisco.
Right.
Well, so the Niners have that deal, the offer on the table for him, and then they also made, according to reports, you might know more than me, but they also have a deal in place for the trade for Pittsburgh. So it's kind of up to Brandon, right? I mean, he's got to decide on the current offer or the trade.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers want to include George Pickens. That's really what I'm hearing.
Oh,
they don't want to include George Pickens in the deal.
Oh.
Everything else is pretty much, you know, solidify. So I don't know if that's going to happen. And the way that Brandon Ayuk has been in the building, the way that he's been around the team, the way that he embraces Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch on the daily, it would just feel unnatural for them to trade him at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to commend Brandon Ayuk. Think about how many guys that get a chance to sit at home and hide while their contract is being negotiated by their agent and general manager. it's very difficult to be in the building, to constantly be getting people talking to you and trying to persuade you to take a deal, and then go home and go to your hotel room and your agent telling you to stay strong. Mm-hmm. So it's very tough for a young player who's going through his first contract negotiation, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he stays strong. So hopefully he gets what he deserves soon so he can get out there and do what he does best. And that's play wide receiver in the NFL.
So here everybody was dreaming of a Jaden, Brandon, Ayuk connection. It's not going to happen. What do you see in Jaden Daniels so far? What do you expect?
I see a real pro. I see somebody that loves the game. I see somebody who understands what a pro-style offense and decision-making is. A lot of college quarterbacks, they struggle in the NFL. And, you know, we could talk about Justin Fields, and we can go down the line. It's because most of the game in the NFL is controlled from the sideline, right? They have to minimize the risk of the quarterback and players making mistakes, losing games. And you know how vital each win is in college football, so they have to control it as much as possible. In the NFL, you know, when that headset snaps off at, what, 15 seconds? Mm-hmm. Every decision is up to the quarterback, from where you line, what plays you can, what plays you run opposite, who do you motion, who do you shift, who do you throw it to versus certain blitzes and coverages and zones. It's all up to the quarterback, which is why they get premium dollar in the NFL. So a lot of the quarterbacks that can't operate in these type of pro systems, you can blame it on the NCAA and college football because those coaches are minimizing the risk and controlling everything from the sideline. So from going forward, organizations in the NFL, I would only look at quarterbacks pretty much that are, you know, just freakishly athletic or that come primarily from NFL-style systems and been coached up from NFL offensive coordinators so that it translates to the NFL and they have success.
Hey, Dante, before we let you go, getting back to the Niners, you know, we're talking about Ayuk, who's holding in. Trent Williams is holding out. Now, he's got 3 years left on a deal that he signed, 6 years, $140 million, but I don't think he's got any more guaranteed money after this year. So he wants a new deal. And he's obviously a vital part to that team, as Ayuk is. What's going on with Trent? Do you expect that deal to get done before the season starts?
Yes, I expect that deal to also get done before the season starts. And it's different between Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. Brandon Ayuk has to get out and sprint, quick twitch. You know, there's more opportunity for injury there, so you like to get him in practice a lot sooner than Trent. With Trent and what he's done and already solidified himself as a Hall of Famer, it might only take him a few days to get acclimated back into practice. So, you know, after, what, 13, 12, 13, 14 years in the NFL, you know, he keeps himself in top shape. I don't think that Trent Williams will have any issues, but he does deserve top dollar. He's still the number one left tackle in the NFL, and you see that these contracts keep going up. I see what, was it Tristan Wirfs? He just set the market again for left tackles.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can, you know, I don't even know if he's even close to what Trent Williams is.
Yep.
So Trent deserves his money. He's getting older, and he understands right now that, hey, he has the leverage. There's not a developed left tackle behind him that you can go into the season with Super Bowl aspirations and really count on him not to destroy the season. So I think that Trent Williams will get it worked out. Him and his agent, they're playing it beautifully. Any player who has this type of dominance in his career and he's starting to come towards like the end of his career, they should all take a page out of Trent Williams' book to really go in those end years and be able to negotiate and get some of that guaranteed money before you're done with the game. So I think they'll get both of those guys you know, signed up and set up and get ready to go back on another Super Bowl run because they have a lot of talent, a lot of young guys, a lot of returning guys, a lot of returning coaches. Now it's all to get it back together and put that continuity to it.
Dante, always a pleasure talking to
you. We love talking.
Thanks for jumping on.
We'll talk during the season too, man.
Absolutely. Long season, guys. Call me.
All right, thank you.
I'm ready.
All right,
Dante,
do it again.
Whitner, NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, former 49ers and Redskins safety. For Lurch, for EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley up next. Here on The Fan.